Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Good evening. How you guys doing? Good. How many of you didn't answer? It's fair. That's all right. I understand why. Sometimes we have good days, right? Sometimes we don't. And I get that. I understand that. How many of you guys would be honest and say that, you don't have to say you had a bad day, but you'd be honest and say today wasn't the best day in the world? A few of you guys? Yeah, all right. Fair enough. More than likely, the people that would answer yes to that question are the people that are watching this in the future, because they're not here tonight, right? And so we have to remember to pray for each other, right? We got this whole cancel culture thing going on in our world today. And as a church, I want to be the opposite of that. I don't want to cancel people because we get frustrated with them. Some of you guys have relationships that are less than perfect. Maybe they're in your home. Maybe they're not in your home. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's a friend. But maybe God put those people in your life for a reason. And maybe God put those people in your life so that you would encourage them. Sometimes we don't think about that. But I don't know. It's just something I felt like I felt led to say when I walk out. A lot of times when I start with something like this, it's not in my notes or anything like that. It's just something I felt led to say. So how many of you guys just think about it right now? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to do any. There's no participation involved. That's fine. But how many of you guys would just think right now and maybe jot down a name of somebody in your phone or even tonight when you go to before you go to bed, write this person's name down, somebody that you know you need to encourage, somebody that you know that you need to connect with. As a church, that is one of the big callings that we all have, is that we're called to encourage each other. That's why it says encourage out in front of this building. We've had a couple different names up there, but the encourage name basically is a mission for this church, is that we exist to encourage each other, to lift each other up. And when somebody disappoints you, I think the natural response is to walk away and say, I'm done, I'm through with you, or, you know, if it's been multiple times. But I think that the godly thing to do, the right thing to do, is to pray for them at least, and if God leads you, to call them, write them, text them, send them a message on Facebook, whatever it might be, right? So those are the things that we're called to do. So I just felt led to say that when I walked out. That might be for a few of you guys, it might not. That's one cool thing about this church, is we have the freedom to do that, right? So tonight, I didn't give the guys a title. That's why there's no title up there. But, basically I'm going to talk to you guys about three different things: resolve, investment, and commitment. Those three things. We're going to do that here in a second, but I'm going to pray first and then we'll start. Yeah, that'll work. So it's funny because I have notes that I'm a little bit behind on. I was supposed to speak last week and I had a little ailment. I had COVID, and then I had something else after that, a little stomach issue, and so I was not that prepared last week, if I'm honest. And so I was kind of relieved that Pastor Tom was speaking, and I heard he did a great job. And I've listened to most of the message, and it was awesome. And then Pastor Doug came on Sunday and spoke. Isn't it cool to hear these voices of men, of people who've been in the thick in the ministry for so many years, and I think it's kind of cool to hear those voices. And so back tonight, and I have a plan, I have this stuff, but I also want to leave room for the Spirit to speak to you guys. And so I'm trying to be as organized as possible, and they have my notes, they have my verses back there, and I don't want to throw anybody off, but I think it's okay sometimes to stop and say, you know what, this is what God's speaking to us tonight. So you might see me pause. You might see me, gather my thoughts a little bit tonight, but I'm trying really hard to listen to the Spirit as I speak. So that is that. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for absolutely everything. Lord, for those that, when I asked if they're having a good day or a bad day, for those that felt like, you know, things could be better, maybe they're going through a real struggle. Maybe they're trying to hold on to faith, but their faith seems to be slipping. Maybe there's some people in here that are confused, frustrated, angry. Maybe there's some people in here, Lord, that are just status quo. They're just getting by. Lord, wherever anybody's at tonight or in the future when people watch this online, I pray, Lord, that you would remind them that you created them, that you knew about them before, well before they were born, that you have a not only a plan for their lives, but you have an expectation that they will have good things in their lives. You have blessings that you have stored up in heaven that you want to give each and every one of us. Lord, you have blessings stored up that you want to give us on earth. Lord, you have all these things for us, Lord. You have all these stories ahead, Lord, that if we pay attention, if we focus and we learn to obey you, that we will see those stories come to fruition. So I pray, Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd open up our hearts. And I pray that you would put inside of our hearts what you want to put inside of our hearts. And put inside of our minds what you want to put inside of our minds. And I pray that you'd speak to your children tonight, Lord. Speak to all of us, Lord. Help us to be simple, to believe that you can and that you will. And let us be expecting that, Lord, tonight. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so tonight we're talking about resolve, investment, and commitment. And those three things on just by themselves are very, very potent and very powerful things. But when you combine all three of those things together, there's kind of a special thing, you know, when we take all these ideas that we learn in the Bible and combine them together and we actually learn to do them. So God does something new and fresh inside of us. Some of you guys are, and this is very, very, very common. This is something we all go through in our walk. Some of you guys are out there and you're saying, you know what? I don't feel it anymore. I'm not growing like I used to. I'm not where I once was. And if that's you, if you feel that way, I want to give you guys some tools tonight to focus on, to get back into that first love kind of feeling, to get back into that place where you feel like things are moving forward again, where you're growing again, where you're excited again. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? You know how you get stale? You just kind of get stuck? You get into this complacency, and it's just, it's a natural thing. I don't think that it's because of anything that we do. It's more of what we don't do, what we forget to do. And so tonight, when we talk about these things, realize that, and it's part of the message tonight, but realize that sometimes we hear the same things over and over and over and over, and it seems redundant, but how often do we agree with the message? We agree with the basics. We agree with the things that we need to do. But then we go home and continue to live our lives in the same exact way that we've been living and getting the same exact results, right? It's about application. See, I spoke, when I started doing this, I'll admit I did not know what I was doing, and I learned to teach. I learned to talk about God. I learned how to tell people what they wanted to hear, and I learned how to kind of tell people what they don't want to hear, and they liked it. It was weird, right? So I learned these skills. I learned how to hear God. I started learning how to hear God. And at one point in my life before, I realized that I wasn't really applying these things that I was teaching, and I felt hypocritical, and I had all these other battles going on, and you guys know I stopped for 3 years. I stopped teaching for 3 years. I never stood on the pulpit for 3 years. One of the reasons is because I acknowledged the fact that I wasn't really doing the basics. I wasn't really living like how I should. I wasn't doing anything horribly bad then at all. Like I wasn't a bad person, and I wasn't what you call a, you know, major sinner with dark skeletons in my closet, but I was somebody who was just not really doing the basics. I was not really doing what I needed to do. And there are a lot of other issues that I had back then that I'm not going to get into tonight because that's a whole different thing. But But at that time, I challenged myself not just to be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Not just to know it and share it, but to actually act on it. And it wrecked me. It hurt. Because I was like, man, this is way, way more intense than just knowing it and speaking it and sounding like a good Christian, right? How many people do you know that like they sound right? They have all the words. They have all the things to say. They know exactly what they're supposed to look like on the outside, but you just know there's something not right, right? There's something that's not quite there, and it's because a lot of us learn to fake it, right? And not that we are fake in general, but we just learn. It's a skill that we end up learning in work and in life. We end up learning this skill, but with God, he just doesn't want us to fake it. He'd rather us be honest with each other, but he'd rather, much rather us be honest with him, right, in our prayer. And so anyway, that's the whole spiel. Before the spiel, let's get into it. So Daniel 1:8. Daniel is a Hebrew. And the Hebrews had just been taken over by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He rolled in, and because the king at the time, it was Jehoiakim, he wasn't right before God. So God allowed King Nebuchadnezzar to take over and besiege Jerusalem. And when he did that, he kidnapped and took some of these Hebrews back to his land, and in doing so, he had the idea that he wanted to change some of these young Hebrews. He wanted to change their mindset. He wanted to re-educate them. He wanted them to forget about their God, forget about their ways, forget about their heritage, and he wanted them to learn the new way, the way that they believed in, and it was the way of the Chaldeans. And so King Nebuchadnezzar ends up taking Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I hate pronouncing these words, but you know what I mean. He takes these guys and he tries to re-educate them. But verse 8 has always stuck out to me. It says NASB. It says Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the king's wine with which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. So Daniel was one of these kids that was kidnapped, and he just decided beforehand that he was not going to allow them to change. And so in the ESV, it says that Daniel resolved, that he made up his mind beforehand. And that's the first thing that I kind of want to hit you guys with tonight is, a lot of us, we get frustrated with ourselves when we mess up. We get frustrated with ourselves when we fight a battle and we lose the battle with ourselves. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? We know what we ought to do. We end up doing the opposite. We know what we should be doing. We end up sleeping in. We know what we ought to be, right? Like you know what you should be doing, but you fight and fight, and sometimes we fail. Well, this idea of resolve is a very biblical concept, and it's all throughout the Bible. But Daniel chose to do what he was going to do the right thing before he actually had to make the decision. He resolved. He made up his mind beforehand. Yesterday afternoon, I got home a little bit early, and my wife said, hey, we're about to go for a walk. And so my two daughters and my wife and I went for a walk around the neighborhood. We live downtown area, and just north of 24th Street. So come by anytime. But we were walking around in there, and my four-year-old is a character. She's really funny. She's hilarious, and she loves animals. Like loves animals. We just got a puppy, and the puppy is out of control and bites her all the time. She still loves this puppy, and so. Because we have a puppy, we don't have room for any more animals. We don't even have room for a puppy, but we decided to get one, and that's that. And I'm regretting some of those decisions, but it's going to work out. He's going to be a good dog. But we're going on a walk, and there's a cat that starts following us on this walk. And look, I don't want to belittle any of you out there that are cat people, but I'm a dog person, okay? I know that there are rare weirdos out there that are cat and dog people. I don't get that. But some of you are cat people, and that's okay. That's fine with me. I get it. I understand. But I'm a dog person. I've always been a dog person. I love dogs. I hate cats. So this cat starts following us, and my daughter's so excited. She's pumped. She's like, this cat is following us. It's so exciting, Daddy. It's so exciting. I'm like, yeah, it's a stray cat. He's in the neighborhood. So we're just kind of playing along with my daughter. We want her to be happy, you know. We're like, okay. And she's like, can we keep him? But I'm like, you know, honey, I don't think so. My wife's like, she's like, oh, we'll see if he follows us home, right? I mean, we're three blocks away from our house at this point. And this cat follows us. And I look a little bit closer. This cat comes up to my daughter and starts, you know, purring and doing this thing. And I'm just sitting there just trying to avoid it. And I look down, and it's got one eye. It's a one-eyed cat. It's this orange one-eyed cat. It's a freak. It's a freak cat, okay? It's not just a cat. I sent a picture to my dad. He sent it to my niece, Jimmy Terry's daughter. She said that it looked like the cat from Pet Sematary. I'm like, okay, a little bit. This cat's a crazy, freaky cat. My daughter loves it. So she's like, Daddy, if he follows us home, can we keep it? I'm like, honey, cats, they live in the wild out here in the neighborhood. And you don't keep a cat. So we end up walking, and sure enough, this cat is just trailing behind. And I'm like thinking to myself, this thing isn't going to follow us all the way home, right? There's no way. It's this weird one-eyed cat. I mean, there's no way. So sure enough, the cat ends up following us home and goes in our backyard and starts making itself comfortable. It's sitting in my daughter's stroller. It's like laying on our lounge. It's a one-eyed cat. And I'm like, yeah, it'll go away. I go inside. We cook dinner. We do our thing. I keep looking out. And at one point, I'm looking out the window, and I'm like, where's that? I think the cat's gone. And I look, and I'm like, whoa, he's right there staring at me with that one eye. I'm like, good Lord, right? And so we have a puppy, right? We have a little lab, a little silver lab named Rocco. Cute as it can be. I don't know why I didn't bring pictures. I should have. But anyway, cutest dog ever. A little wild, but he's also a little feisty. He's a little tough guy. And so we put him out there, and he's like, the cat's kind of walking around doing its thing, and he sees the cat, and the cat gets up and kind of gets, you know, and then he just starts chasing this cat, and the cat runs around the yard, and my wife's like, no, I hope nothing happens, you know, and the cat leaves, and I'm like, thank God, Rocco. I gave him a bunch of treats, and I'm like telling my daughter, I'm like, I'm sorry, honey, I don't know what happened, but I'm like, just giving the dog treats. So this is happening, and I'm like, okay, the cat's gone, thank the Lord, this is great. Once you know it, 5 minutes later, the sucker comes back, right? And he's just out there, and I put my dog out again, and he runs him off again. I'm like, okay, this is it, right? Happens again, my dog runs him off again. He comes back again, right? So this cat is, like, decided in his mind that he is sleeping in our backyard at this point, right? Later on in the night, I ended up taking my dog out to go to the bathroom, and the cat is sitting there on our lounge, and it's just staying really still. And the dog's walking all around. It has no idea the cat's even there. My wife looked at me. She said, that cat has street smarts. I said, you're right. It's a tough, crazy cat. But this cat impressed me with its resolve. This cat said, I'm going to stay here. This is where I'm going to be tonight. And thank God he left this morning. He's probably back in my house right now. He's probably in my house, right? He's probably sitting in my favorite chair right now. But as far as I know, the cat's gone. But the fact that he decided he was going to sleep in our backyard last night and he just stayed there all night, like that was impressive to me. And I think that was a perfect word picture for me to share with you about resolve. Because sometimes we come to church, right, or we get involved and, you know, there are people that try to run us off and there are things that try to offend us and things that do offend us and we get frustrated and whatever. But some of you, you have resolve, and you just stick with it. I know people that have been insulted over and over, that have been treated poorly over and over, but they just stay. And eventually, they're a huge part of the family. And I think that's the way we need to be with God, because he is our Father. And God doesn't offend us, but sometimes his children do. Sometimes the church does, right? But we need to choose beforehand that we're going to do the right things, that we're going to stick with it. We're going to stick with our families. We're going to stick with our friends. We're going to stick with the people that God has given us. We're going to have this resolve, right? So I'm doing like this little YouTube thing, the guys have been telling me for years. I've been preaching it for years for other people to do. They're like, why don't you do it? I'm like, okay. So I'm starting a YouTube channel, and I'm doing part of my messages when I speak on these videos, and sometimes I'll play them, sometimes I won't. But the reason I'm doing that is because there's a lot of people that are younger that won't step foot in a church. And so I believe that that in order to get people involved in church, in order to get people excited about church, we have to reach out into the marketplace, into the community. And part of that is YouTube. And so my next point is on a video. So if you want to check it out on YouTube, you can. I'm not promoting this to make money or anything like that. As I'm not making any money off of this at all, just so you know. And I'm not just trying to be famous either, because I don't want to be famous. But and I highly doubt I will be. But I am doing these YouTube videos because I want you guys to be able to have also something to share with other people that don't go to church, that are younger. So if you want to do that, you guys can share this thing. But my next point is on video. I'm going to come back and finish it, okay? Follow your heart. This is advice that many people give young people. They say, follow your heart. If you do what you feel like you should do, that things are going to go well in your life, right? But if you really think about it, even though it feels right to hear that advice, it's horrible advice. Okay, let me tell you why following your heart is bad advice. Following your heart is basically comparable to following how you feel. And if you think about your own life, if you're anything like the average person, now I know not everyone's like this, there are certain people that wake up every day feeling great, but if you're like me and many others, you wake up in the morning and sometimes you feel good and sometimes you don't feel good. Sometimes you feel like doing the right thing and sometimes you don't feel like doing the right things, right? Sometimes I wake up and I feel like reading my scriptures and doing my devotions and I feel like exercising, I feel like eating right, I feel like being close to my family. But there are other times where I wake up and I just am in a mood of self-pity, or I'm just angry about something that happened the day before, or I just don't feel good, maybe physically, and that affects how I feel mentally, and that affects eventually how I feel spiritually. And so when we tell people to follow their heart, we're basically telling them to follow how they feel, and that's not always good advice. Instead, I want to introduce you to a better way. And instead of following your heart, I want to encourage everyone to lead your heart. If you wake up every single day and do what is right, no matter how you feel, okay? If you feel good, it's easier. And when you don't feel good, it's a little harder. But if you choose to do the right things every single day, what happens is your heart will trail along and follow your commitments. And when your heart ends up being filled with your commitments and what you do, then your heart will start to catch up and you will eventually become passionate about the things that you're not always passionate about. And there will still be days where you don't feel like doing the right thing, but you choose to commit to do the right thing anyway. And so lead your heart. Choose what you're going to do every single day. Here's my advice. My advice is make a list, a short list. And on that list, put 3 or 4 things on it that you know you should be doing every single day. And choose to do those things. Take 40 days and say, every single day, no matter how I feel, I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna do these 3 or 4 things. I'm gonna do these things no matter what. And if you commit to yourself and you commit to God and the people around you to do these things, your heart is going to be filled and your heart is going to want to do these things more. Again, it's not going to be every single day, but you will feel more like doing the things that you know you need to do if you choose to be committed to those things. And so that's my basic spiel today for you. Make sure you subscribe. I'm going to come to you guys every single week with something, some sort of encouragement and some sort of a message for you guys. I love you guys and I hope you guys have a great week, and I hope this really helps you, okay?
I know that a lot of people don't understand why we would do YouTube, but this is definitely a mission field, and it's something that I feel passionate about. So, but it totally went along with tonight's teaching that sometimes you just need to choose beforehand what you're going to do, and you won't feel like it, right? Your heart won't be in it. But basically, the idea is that choice leads to passion, and when you choose to do the right thing. Even like in a marriage, if you choose to love your spouse, right, when you don't want to sometimes, let's be honest, right? Like, I want to love my spouse all the time, but I know you guys are different. But when we choose to love somebody and commit to them, you start to feel passion for them. When you choose to get involved in a ministry and you kind of throw your hat over the fence, you start to become passionate about that ministry. When you choose to,
invest your life into some sort of mission, you start to care more and more. And then eventually you can ride on that passion. Eventually you can move on your heart because your heart is so filled because you've made the right choices. But it doesn't start like that. It starts with choice. It always, always does. And so the first thing is resolve, is choosing before you have to make decisions to do the right thing. The second thing is investment. Matthew 25:14-29 is a parable that Jesus spoke. And this parable is this. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a long journey who called the servants and entrusted them to his property." This is the parable of the talents. "To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. So he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 more. And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him and said, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, the one who had 1, take it from him and give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has will be more be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." This is probably not the most popular scripture these days, right? We live in a society that wants to go more toward socialism and welfare and all this stuff where, you know, you give people that don't work everything and you just, everyone should have the same. But that's not what this is about. What's interesting about this story is one's given 5, one's given 2, one's given a 1, but it doesn't matter how much they're given, it matters what they do with what they're given, right? If the 1 would have went out and hustled and got 1 more, he would have been moving up, he would have been doing better, right? He would have been getting somewhere. How many of you guys love the story where somebody doesn't have much? They've been raised in a home that was difficult, and they've had a hard life, but they make something amazing out of their life. Those stories are always interesting to me because it's inspirational to us, right? But there's 2 things that I want you to take from this. And this is, so the first part that we talked about was resolve. The second part is investment. Now, there's 2 parts of this story of investment that I want you to see. 1, do not waste what you are entrusted with. Do not waste what you are entrusted with. And you need to ask yourself, because sometimes we don't take spiritual inventory or physical inventory even, and we don't ask ourselves what we actually have. What has God given you? Don't waste it. That's the first thing. The second thing, the part that really stuck out to me this week when I was thinking of this story, is that the little things matter a lot. The little things matter a lot, right? They just do. Our goal in life is to grow, right? Like, that is our goal. How many of you guys have ever been on a workout regime before, right? Regimen, whatever. Not regime. I don't know why I always say that. How many of you guys, it feels like a regime sometimes. How many of you guys have been on a workout thing where you start working out and you're like, at first you're like, I'm getting somewhere, and then after like 3 weeks you're like, I'm not getting anywhere, this is lame, what's going on, right? What happens is when you start working out, you make bigger gains quicker, and then eventually it moves out of snail's pace, right? But every single time you work out, you make incremental gains. You make tiny little gains. And it's really no different in our spiritual lives. I think when we first get saved, we make these quick gains because our life changes so much. Our perspective changes. Our environment changes. We're starting to do things we've never done before. And you're growing really fast. But then at some point, you start to slow down and you start making incremental gains, right? And it's these little tiny things that we do that help us gain a lot in the big picture, but it doesn't seem like they're important every single day, right? It doesn't seem like they are significant. Sometimes I think we forget that these things like prayer, worship, fellowship, self-reflection, all these things, we don't think that they're that important, but they are so important. And when we do these things on a small level every single day, God will eventually entrust us with more and more and more, and we will incrementally get stronger. We will incrementally become more passionate and more able to be the people that God has called us to be, right? But the growth is slower as you've been in it more, and it gets a little bit more difficult. But small wins equal big gains. Small wins equal big gains, right? They just do. So the last one. So the first one, again, was resolve. The second thing is investment. The third thing is contentment. And this is the one thing that I think stifles our growth is discontentment, is when we aren't happy with what God has given us. When we start to look over the fence and see what the neighbors have, and we start to look at the other people, and we start to think, I'm not who I need to be. I'm not who I should be. And we start, and maybe social media is the actual fence sometimes that we look over. We see people's lives. We're like, I should be like this person. I should be like that person. Look at 1 Timothy 6:6. It says, godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Contentment, the Greek word actually means self-satisfaction, competence, or sufficiency. It's having enough. It's believing that you have enough, right? So let's take the opposite of contentment and look at discontent. People that are discontented. I think when we have discontentment, we are easily robbed of the blessings that God wants to give us, right? When we think of those little things, I actually wrote down these things. I kind of just said it a second ago, but I'm going to read this because I think that these, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have six little things that I've already kind of mentioned, but six little things that I think that sometimes if we're discontented and we're not happy with our results, we think that these are insignificant. We think that these are little, but these little things are the things that cause us to grow. And these things are prayer, okay? Prayer. Not just driving down the freeway saying, Lord, help me not to get mad at this person, or Lord, help me to have a good day, but actually prayer. Sitting down, quieting your mind, turning the TV off, putting the phone down, giving God your undivided attention, sharing the things that are on your heart, asking Him for specific things. And I think it's a good idea also to write your prayers down. The reason I think it's good for us to write our prayers down is because we forget them, right? We forget what we pray. And then how would we ever know if God answered those prayers or not if we forget what we prayed? So actually being intentional about sitting with God and speaking to Him, sharing our hearts, asking Him what we need to ask Him, but then also listening to Him. That's also a prayer. Prayer is a two-way conversation. Also listening, saying, Lord, what do you want to speak to me today? So the second thing would be studying the Bible. Studying, and not just studying for knowledge. Yes, you can study for knowledge. Please do it. Go for it. Become the smartest Bible scholar on the planet, for all I'm concerned. Do it. That's great. But if we're not studying the Bible in order to apply it to our lives, if we're not studying in order to live it, then we are wasting our time. So do that first, okay? Study it to live it first. then get into your scholarly study, then get into theology or whatever else you want to get into. So prayer, study. The third thing is reflection. It's so important for us to look at our own hearts. It's so important for us to look at our own deeds. It's so important for us to think about the things that we've said that day or the day before. It's so important for us to just consider who we really are in comparison to Christ and to know what we need to work on, know what is the most important thing to work on, and ask God for help with those things. So prayer, study, reflection. The next one is worship. And yes, we get together and we sing songs in church, and that's good, but I mean telling God that you love him, telling him that you love him and meaning it, and saying, God, please take my heart because you are the most important one in my life. You are, it's like a mental prioritization when we worship. The word for worship in the Bible means to bow down, which to me means to bow down to God, to put him in the space that he's supposed to be in as Lord and master, as owner, right? And to acknowledge that we have this ability to do so through Jesus. And so worship is the next one. Another one is correction, which probably should have been after reflection, but correction goes along with reflection of just changing the way we do things. And then the last one is fellowship, which is, we think of fellowship, we think of, I grew up in the church, so I think of like potlucks, right? I think of like coming together, everybody brings this dish, and you're like, you know, stay away from Joan's dish because it's always been sat out for too long, and it's probably going to give you food poisoning, but everything else should be fine. You know, some of like these like really mostly good memories of just like coming together and eating food together, and that's great. But one day I was with my friend, and we were talking about God, and I felt the Spirit move, and I was like, this is really fellowship. We were talking about the things. We were talking about how much we love God, how much we want to seek him, and it just, like, God showed up. And it was these conversations that would never happen if we didn't create the space to have those conversations, right? If we never took the time to talk to somebody else about the Lord, then we would never have that true fellowship, right? Especially with other believers is what I'm getting at. So those things are so important, and evangelism is also important. I should add that one on there. But that, to me, is a byproduct of all these other things. Right, when you do what you're supposed to do, when you do all these little things that don't seem significant, all of a sudden God changes you and he makes you a light. He makes you the salt of the earth. He makes you this person who other people see, and then they'll start asking you questions, and being open to share Jesus with them is so important. And so contentment is huge. I want to read a couple of other verses. I'm going to skip to Philippians 4:11, and we're going to end here in a sec. It says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. So this is Paul saying he's learned contentment in any circumstance, right? In any circumstance, good, bad, great, awesome, horrible, whatever. Whatever I'm going through in life, I've learned to be contentment. And that is a skill that you learn. That is a practice. That is something that needs to be learned. And how are you going to learn it if you never go through difficult circumstances? So sometimes we ask God, why am I going through this? Well, maybe it's so you'll learn a new skill, a new coping skill, a new contentment skill. You'll learn to thank God when things aren't perfect, because that's a huge test of our faith, right? Hebrews 13:5-6 says this: make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. Okay, that's key right there. Being content, okay, happy, satisfied with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So if you have him and he's never going to leave you, he's never going to forsake you, he's never going to turn his back on you, why are you worried about not having all these other things? When I was a kid, occasionally I would clean my room. If I'm honest, my mom cleaned my room for me quite a few times. My dad did not like that, but my mom would do it. She would sneak around, and she would clean my room. And I remember as a kid, just making a mess, you know, playing with my toys, getting everything. And then once my room was dirty, I just kind of avoided the place for two reasons. One, my dad would want me to clean it. And the other reason was just, it was just nasty. I was just like, I don't want to do all that. But my mom would clean it, and she would organize it, and she would put everything in its place. And I would, like, walk around, and I would walk into my room, and I'd be like, man, this is nice. And I would start playing with my toys again. And I remember this as a kid. My mom also reminds me, you know, as an adult, that I was like that. But I was thinking, like, when we organize our lives, sometimes we're able to take inventory of what we do have. Sometimes when we just look at what we have, like, look at the things, the blessings, the relationships, the tools, the people around us, the church, the community, the things that we actually have, we'll actually, if we focus on those things and take an inventory, we will realize how blessed we really are. And when we realize how blessed we really are, then we become thankful. And it puts our mind in the right place, and it puts our heart in the right place, right? Some of us just get into a bad habit of thinking about what we don't have when we could easily change the habit by intentional behavioral change. We can change the habit and start thinking about the blessings and the good things that God has given us. And you know what? I think you'd be happier if you did it, right? I think we would be happier if we did that. It's amazing what can happen in our minds when we make these little choices. And so those three things, resolve, investment, and contentment, when we match those up together, our lives will grow. We'll be people who grow. And people that are growing are healthy, right? And that's what we want to be. And healthy fruit produces, right, more fruit. So let's pray this. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would all take your word here and we would apply it. I pray, Lord, that we would take it and we would learn how to walk in your ways, Lord. We would learn how to be your children and be thankful for the things you've given us, Lord. Be thankful for the circumstances, even when they're tough, Lord. I pray that we would have a thankful heart tonight. I know that there are people out there that are going through really difficult times, that have lost loved ones, Lord, that have had lost their jobs, that have lost so much. But Lord, I pray that you'd show them what they do have and show them, Lord, that you've entrusted them with tools, resources, relationships. You've entrusted them with a place in this church. You've entrusted them with something, and they can do so much with that. Maybe there's somebody out here tonight. They're not like the person with the one talent. They're not like the person with the five talents, but they're the person with the two talents, and they're looking at the person with the five talents. I pray, Lord, that you'd give the person with the two talents the ability to say, I have a lot, and I'm going to go out and double what I have, and I'm going to do it because God has entrusted me with this. I pray that you give us that resolve. I pray that you give us the ability to invest correctly, and I pray, Lord, that you would give us a spirit of contentment in this church, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us a king.